Hello and welcome to the WS podcast. My name is Wojciech Salski. I'll be your host for today. And as we jump into it and as I start this first episode in the new year, so happy new year, a bit late, but better late than never. I'd like to remind you that if you are looking forward to these shows, if you feel like this is something worth watching, then please make sure to follow, subscribe, whichever platform you're using. It basically helps the podcast to grow. It helps me to reach more people. And of course, if you'd like to use the word of mouth technique and share this episode or any other with a friend or a family member, I will be greatly grateful for you. And other than that, thank you so much for all of those out there who are commenting, who are sending me messages. Last Christmas came early for me, because I received after one of the episodes regarding freedom, I actually received two extensive emails, really wonderful ones, you know, expressing gratitude and basically pointing out how valuable the episode they found. And yeah, it made me feel great. So, you know, these little messages from outer space in terms of my usual space are definitely welcomed. And thank you so much if you are sending these, and if you are listening, thank you so much for being, thank you so much for supporting. If you'd like to support the podcast, there is a link below as well, and you can find some options there to choose from. And yeah, other than that, enjoy the show. I am starting again. This is a new studio in the making still, I think. I don't know exactly. I'm trying to figure out the technicalities of both sound. So I've been experimenting today with, you know, looking in different directions, how the microphone is going to work and whether or not I need another one. And also I've been playing with light, and this is the best I managed so far, and I know it's far from perfect, so I appreciate that it still might seem like a fairly bootstrap sort of a podcast, which it is ultimately, really. It is just me talking to you and sometimes to other people, but mostly me talking to myself most of the time. And so for the time being, as I'm, you know, fully engaged with other jobs and some businesses, I simply, you know, this is what we have for now. It will be evolving. It is an experiment. Quite frankly, as I'm recording this, I'm cringing so much at the many, you know, mistakes that I still feel like there are. If you do watch this episode, that means I overcame my cringe and decided to record it nevertheless and to put it out there, which I think is the best way. You know, quite frankly, if you are thinking of doing something, I would encourage you to just do it, really, like Shia LaBeouf does in that gif that everyone knows from Nike. Just do it. But yeah, here we are, New Year's, new year, new me, I guess, still the same, in many ways different though. And I was thinking, what should I start this year with for you? Because of course, I have plenty of books to go through, and I have some guests lined up, plus I'll probably be from now on, since I have more space, and this is the amazing thing about this area, as imperfect as it is, it definitely will accommodate two people, and it's a big upgrade, may I tell you, from the space I used for the past 2-3 years. So yeah, welcome in the bigger space. So yeah, I'll have more guests now for sure, and I'll be able to re-record some episodes that happened to not happen in the end, maybe because someone didn't want to show their house, or maybe someone, you know, one of my guests decided against because it was just not the right time for them. While this year, they said that they will come on, and you know, we can have that discussion again. So I have some episodes lined up for you, but I was thinking, how can I start? And you know how it is. If you are interested in any sort of endeavor that demands of you some sort of attention and maybe putting yourself out there, you know how difficult sometimes it is to simply restart. I have the same when it comes to working out or going to jiu-jitsu or restarting some of my habits. It's simply, especially after the Christmas time, when it's very easy to just enjoy the moment and leave all the plans to the side, the first time back is always the most difficult one, right? You might feel sluggish. You might feel like out of shape. You might feel like you're a bit rusty. You might be saying a lot of like and and whatever else is there, or maybe too many ends. So I've been not maybe fully purposefully, but I know that I've been postponing restarting the show, mostly for the fact that I wanted to make sure that the logo is just how I wanted, that the light seems okay, that this plant here doesn't look like my hair is just a weird sort of mushroom. So it was just a lot of things that kept coming in the way of me recording. And then I had this feeling the other day, a few days ago, when I simply wanted to record, and I even sat down, I prepared everything, I turned on all the lights, and then obviously I came up with excuses why it's not the right moment, I'm not prepared, I didn't make any notes, you know, and here we are. It's suddenly, you know, it's almost, by the time you get this episode, it's gonna be February, but it's the end of January, and I've been postponing something that I simply like to do. So I wanted to talk about that today. I will talk mostly about energy, but, you know, these are just some thoughts and ideas. I'll pull on some strings from the past episodes, and I'll link below some of them. And I'll just point to you why, in my opinion, the best way to go about coming back to whatever you want to do or starting whatever you want to start is simply by moving your energy, right? So, yeah, let's give it a shot, shall we? And I understand that the glare of on my face, probably, it's probably a bit too much. So that's another learning curve point. I'll actually put it down as a note. So let's have a jump in. So this episode, in terms of the title, I thought I'll probably title it "Few Words on Energy," and this is not to say that we're going to be talking about fossil fuels or, you know, putting gas in your car or maybe atomic nuclear reactors. I'm talking in general about energy, and mostly I want to focus on our energy, on the energy that you're using right now to listen to me, and on the energy I am exerting right now to talk to you, right? So in terms of quantum mechanics, it seems like everything is energy, and then there is some matter, and let's focus on energy for now. So if you think about it, even if you don't know much about physics, which I certainly do not, apparently everything vibrates. So even though we don't see it, depending on the level of your density, a rock or a tree are simply more dense, and therefore they vibrate on a slower, let's try to call it that way, wave than humans, who are fairly not dense. I'm lost for words here. And so we actually vibrate much faster than trees or rocks, which also allows us to move more easily. You know, good luck trying to move a rock, right? Whereas, unless you're, struck with some sort of calamity, you're probably quite easily movable, and you are moving all the time. I am moving all the time as well, especially with my ADHD-like behavior at times. So apparently, since everything is vibrating and everything is energy in some way, or at least everything is engaging with energy, we can spend energy, we can gain energy, and we can transform, that's a good word for it, energy, right? So for example, if you are eating, you know, your breakfast, what you're doing is you're taking some nutrients into your body, and your body within the cellular level and all the processes within our body, which are truly miraculous if you think about it, they manage to come up with a way of creating ATP, which is essentially energy for the cells, right? And that energy is then exerted as you go throughout your day. And I always imagine this, you know, we probably talked about it when we talked about the decision-making bootcamp. So I'll link that one. I don't know if you remember, but we've discussed the fact that over your day, you have a certain span of energy that you are able to exert for decisions. It's almost like I always imagine it as a battery, right? So you have a certain level of battery at the beginning of the day, let's say that it's 100. And with each decision you make, you're taken away from that bar, right? And at some point, which is, as a side note, this is exactly why it's much more difficult to keep to your promises in the evening than in the morning, because your body, your mind, your decision muscle is more exhausted by the day's end. And so it's much easier for you to fall into some bad habits, bad routines, or maybe just break your own promise at the day's end in comparison to the day's beginning, simply because you have less energy in that decision making to make. Now, it's the same, as I said, that's how I visualize it, with energy. You have certain amount of energy at the beginning of the day, of course, assuming that there is a certain level of energy that you've gotten by sleeping and eating well. These are all factors, and there are many more that play a part in making your body, your mind, your spirit in many ways being able to exert energy over the day, right? And so on this purely biological level, we need energy to live. Energy is essentially life for us, right? So you go about your day, you do certain activities, but there are activities that you have to do every day, no matter what happens, simply to stay alive. And one of them is obviously sleeping, one of them is obviously eating, and that's basically the crux of the matter, right? Sleeping helps to replenish the mind and sort of clean our mind in many ways, while and also rest up, so relax and loosen the tension and basically let the body rest for a moment so it can repair whatever you've done with it, you little rascal. While food is there to replenish our storage units, right, in a sense, making sure that the body has something to build its cells and to exert energy with. But I would like us to take a step back and consider the vibe energy of ourselves. And I know I might be losing some of you right now, especially if you thought that this episode is going to be about biology 101 and maybe quantum mechanics only. It's not going to be. It's just a bunch of thoughts that I scribbled out on a page in the desperate act of getting back to recording, because I just wanted to chat to you, my dear fellow Earthling. So let's talk about vibes, right? Let's talk about vibration. I think there is a reason why we say that there is a certain vibe at a party, or you don't vibe with someone, or maybe, you know, there is a certain feeling that you get from someone and you say that it doesn't feel right, right? That there is an atmosphere there that you don't want to pursue. So from my perspective, it's related to vibration, because if sound and frequency, if vibration and frequency create sound, and if it is true that frequency, vibration are essentially a huge part, if not the fundamental part, in our everyday existence in this like constantly vibrating stage, coming back to what we said earlier, then I would venture to invite you to consider that there is this part of your energy which essentially is the energy you give away and energy you receive, and the energy in which we constantly flow. So we know from David Hawkins, from his work, and from Joe Dispenza. So I'll link below these authors with their with the episodes related to them. We know that David Hawkins came up with this map of consciousness, right? Showing that different emotions and emotional states vibrate at a different frequency, and each of that frequency has a certain level of ability and power to them, and that there are negative sort of states to be in, such as fear, anger, hate, pride, and then shame, guilt, and then there are positive or sort of above neutral, courage is supposedly the neutral state, and then you have the love, the unconditional love, reason, and so forth. So a bit more on the positive side. And according to Hawkins, these positive states simply have a higher vibration to them, and therefore they are more powerful. Some of them are greatly more powerful than the negative ones. It's almost like you cannot even compare them. It's a different level of strength and power, in a sense. Now, Joe Dispenza, in his work, similarly, although focuses a bit more on the radio waves, the waves of the vibrations that us as human beings emit, and the vibrations around us, both of them point to the idea that everything around us, since everything around us is either energy or matter, and since basically everything around us that we engage with have a certain level of vibration to it, by engaging with these things and by living a certain way, we are exposing ourselves and our energy to that energy and those energies, right? We sort of interact with them. And a great quote from Deepak Chopra here to maybe focus on, and we've discussed this as part of the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success as well by Deepak Chopra, is attention energizes, intention transforms. Essentially, whatever you focus on expands. It's almost like if you focus on something through a binoculars, or if you focus on something through a looking glass, you will sort of expand it in your vision, right? So it expands on the physical plane, but also in that energy state, whatever you focus on expands in your life. If you focus on something positive and if you put more energy into it, you will get more out of it. If you focus on something negative and you put more energy into it, you will get more out of it. It's the same. And from my perspective, no one is there to judge which ones, which things and which activities, which whatever you choose to focus on. It's your choice. That's, I believe that that's the free will that we are offered. Now, attention energizes, intention transforms. Intention is what you want, what you wish, what you pray for, what you have faith in to happen. I believe that by having a certain intention, you can change by transforming a certain reality around you. For example, you might have an intention of starting a podcast. Maybe you've seen a podcast by some random Polish dude in UK and you thought, wow, that's quite cool. He just chats random stuff and he seems to be enjoying it. Why don't I do the same? And you start with the intention, right? That's the thought. And the intention behind it is to have a great adventure of podcasting. Now, you've just transformed your life. Of course, it will take you some actions to get there. But if your intention is true, and if your intention is strong, and if you act upon it, essentially, I don't see how you can fail. It's not that difficult to start a podcast. It really isn't. And of course, you know, a skeptic might say here, but wait, you know, depending on the difficulty or the level of difficulty, one intention might be more difficult to transform your life than the other. But if you think about it, even just acting upon it already changes your life, already transforms who you are. If your intention was to become a pilot, but in the meantime of trying to become a pilot, you've done so many steps and then it turns out you cannot be a pilot, well, that intention still has shifted your life. By taking these steps, by trying whatever you tried to become that pilot, you have transformed your reality. And of course, you know, depending on how much energy you put into it, that transformation will be stronger or weaker. So, of course, attention energizes, intention transforms. With intention of creating a podcast, you come up with some ideas and order some equipment. And with the attention that you give it, by taking the time, making those videos, cringing at yourself in the camera, deciding that maybe this is your way, this is not your way, and so forth, you are expanding this in your life. It really seems, from my perspective, to be the case. And so, in the same way, remember, attention energizes, intention transforms. If your attention is placed on something negative that you don't want, the same power and the same principle applies. So let's say that, I don't know, you have the intention of starting a podcast, but within that intention, there is some level of fear and you wish not to face that fear. And so because you don't want to feel exposed or whatever, you pay attention to that fear more and more. You come up with reasons why a podcast is not a great idea, why this doesn't work and that doesn't work. Something might probably happen in the meantime. You stumble upon a block, which you will, because whenever we're doing something new, there's always trouble of some sort, you know, a challenge of some sort. And you can even use that challenge as a reason to prove to yourself that this was not meant to be. And so you've expanded this worry. And now you cannot see the podcast anymore. You've never done it because you were so worried about the outcomes. You were so worried about whatever you were worried about that it's the worry that expanded and created, transformed your life, not the intention behind starting a podcast. Of course, mind you, these are, you know, very simplified. And I'm trying my best here to convey some good vibes, really, some ideas. But you might find that simply you don't vibe with it, and that's also okay. Now, let's talk about okay and not okay. So I've listened recently to one of Alan Watts's lectures, which are really, really quite fun to entertain your mind with. And one of the things the lecture was about the fact that the quote here is, however you may feel, it's never wrong to feel that way. Whatever you feel, whatever emotion right now you might be experiencing, however vile that emotion might be, however difficult that state might be, Alan Watts claims that it's okay. That's how you feel. It's okay that you feel that way. The problem happens when you act upon it, right? And that part, as we've pointed out through the works of David Hawkins and Joe Dispenza and many other writers and sages, is it's within your decision what to do about it that your agency lies, right? So the point of Alan Watts's in that lecture was, however you may feel, don't suppress that feeling. Don't try to get away from it. Embrace it, because it's okay. It's just a feeling. It's, if you're feeling a certain way, then that's how you should feel in that moment. And those emotions, those feelings are, could be considered by you as sort of a message, right? Your nice way to put it, one of my teachers actually told me at some point, or told us during the class, that if you think about it, emotions are like signals from the body, like a message from the body. The body is sending signals, and both through the senses and through the emotions, you're getting signals from it, and then from your mind, you're getting signals through thoughts, right? If you think about it. Unless you believe that there is no soul and it's only mind and body, and then, I don't know, I guess you would consider thoughts to be you. And that's another rabbit hole. I don't think we are our thoughts, but, you know, maybe you are yours. Each to their own, as they say. But why am I talking about Alan Watts's, you know, invitation to accept, to understand, to befriend, really, all the different emotions, is that these emotions, if you consider emotion to be energy in motion, these emotions will or will not affect your state. And your state can be positive or negative. You can be, you know, feeling good or not. And there are many shades to it, right? It's not just black or white. You can have a very good day and still feel quite bad. And you can have a very bad day and still feel quite good. And probably one of the better questions to ask yourself, if you are interested in feeling better more, is how can I do that? And I think this is where this whole idea of energy yet again strikes us to discuss, which essentially from my perspective is this idea that apparently each interaction we have is a transaction of a sort. It's a transaction of energy, right? So, for example, and I'm just looking at my notes here to... I don't remember where I... Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Even right now, if you think about it, even as I'm talking to you, there is a certain exchange of energy. My intentions for this episode and the way I will convey what I'm trying to send out there into the universe will in some way affect your energy. They are certainly affecting mine, right? I am expelling energy to send some hopefully good vibes, and I truly, you know, wish for them to be good. Please forgive me if they don't feel that way to you. But apparently, especially when it comes to interactions with one another in real life, or when we have the instant connection of a phone or of a you know, video call, we are exchanging energy. And so, you know, here yet again, we're coming to the topic of energy vampires. You might know a situation or a person, or you might remember a situation or a person when or who you felt like by interacting with them or by being engaged in that situation, you felt drained. Maybe, you know, maybe it's someone that whenever you call them to have a chat, spews so much upset thoughts at you that you end up finishing the call feeling like you're just tired. You want to go to sleep, or maybe you don't want to talk to anyone at all in that day. What they did is they consciously or subconsciously, many of us are not aware of the way we are perceived, but they have depleted your energy, right? And a big part of this energy monologue today is an invitation for you to consider in this year, and this has definitely been a big part of my recent considerations, to consider who, where, why, what you would like to spend your energy on this year. Who would you like to hang around? What would you like to do more of? Where would you like to go? Why do you want to do these things? And how do you feel when you do them? These are all, in my opinion, really, really, really valuable and insightful questions to ask yourself. Because especially when it comes to sort of being in a certain routine, it's very easy for us to simply do the same thing again and again, seeing same people over and over, doing same activities, engaging in same whatever, because we never stopped to think why, or why are we doing them, or what does that do to us, right? And my invitation for you in this new year is, since it is a new year still for another 11 months, you've just restarted. Maybe you are warming up like myself into the new, you know, activities of this year. Take a little inventory of all these things, people, ideas, activities, places, and consider which ones of them have that good vibe, which ones of them make you feel better, make you feel whole, make you feel empowered, excited, positive. Because you will spend this year, and I will spend this year, again, it will pass, right? That's inevitable. And how you spend it, with whom you spend it, and what do you do in the meantime plays major role. Like, I mean, this is your life. If you, like, there is not even something to think about here. It simply is your choice how you spend this time, because you're gonna spend it anyway, and how you're gonna spend your energy, on whom, with who, doing what, going where, and so forth. And where you place your attention is where you send your energy. So just beware of where that energy is placed, right? Now, I said a moment ago about the interactions, right? Every interaction is an energetic transaction. Of course, this is not an invitation for you to become a hermit and just sit in the woods away from everyone, because that's the only way to go. Of course, if you want to do that, all the power to you. There is definitely some appeal to it from my perspective. Every now and then I think about taking my wife and simply going away. But for the time being, as we are here, I'd like you to ponder this idea that as within, so without, as above, so below. There is a quote that goes something like, "My perception of you is a reflection of me." So a good reality check for yourself about yourself, according to many sources which talk about, you know, basically energy and vibes and interacting with one another, is to check yourself whether or not your judgment of someone else is not exactly what you're trying to avoid in yourself. And I know this is difficult sometimes. I struggle with it in terms, sometimes I struggle to understand how I can judge someone so different from me. And, you know, when I'm trying to find reasons why am I judging them, since they are so different and they seemingly don't have anything in them that would be like me, the best sort of conclusion I came to is that sometimes that judgment comes because you see in that person's activity or in that person's, you know, whatever, that which you would hate to see in yourself. And it's almost like an alarm bell of showing you just how wrong you could have gone. And personally, as much as I, you know, I ain't no saint, and I struggle with this, as I said, I feel that that's an invitation for us to empathize with the other. Because if we look, of course, initially we look from our perspective, but then if you look from your perspective, you see that there is someone that you're judging because of a certain characteristics, because of a certain activity, because of a certain whatever. And then if you realize that that which you're judging is something that you would hate to experience yourself, you suddenly might feel that what they're experiencing is something worth empathizing with, as part of, "I'm sorry you're going through that because I see your suffering," rather, "How could you do that to yourself? How stupid or whatever are you to do so?" And I think this inner check allows us to essentially become an energy positive person, right? Someone who at the least does not send negative energy out there, because there is plenty of it there anyway, and I wouldn't want to be one of those. So the ideas, of course, from different sages of the past is that whatever you have within you, you will judge the world through that lens. You will experience this the world through that lens. And since, if you consider that the mind is constantly projecting whatever is going on around you, and it's analyzing based on some senses and based of the feelings and based of the you know, the body's response to the environment, you're constantly reviewing what is going on, then your attitude to what is going on will play a part in that judgment, right? You can choose to see the positives or the negatives. It's as simple as that. And in the same way, when you see the other, whatever you see in them, if what you're looking at and you see are their flaws, then you're probably looking through a lens that sees flaws. And you'll see plenty of them, because you're a smart person and, you know, you're good at seeing them. If you see their virtues, then you'll see more virtues around you, and you will yet again be very good at spotting them. It's the same experiment that I mentioned to you again and again in many episodes at this point. But of course, you know, some of you might have joined me just now, and some of you might have not had a chance to listen to the previous episodes that mentioned this. Do yourself an experiment, like try it for yourself, and next time you go out, maybe tomorrow morning when you go to work, count how many red cars you see on the street. And for the next week, count how many cars you see every day, and just write it down. Just you know, keep counting, keep being vigilant. Whenever you see a red car maybe as you're watching a movie, maybe when you're walking on the street, whatever, count all the red cars. And after a week, once you've done it and once you've trained yourself, because a week is a long time, so your mind will become better and better at spotting those red cars. You'll surprise yourself with just how many red cars there suddenly are around you. Suddenly, after a week, switch to blue cars. And you'll see that for the beginning of the week, all the things you're going to see are red cars, because you've trained yourself to look for them. It takes some time to change this perspective. It takes some time to change your energy, right? And I'm not talking about energy in a way of expanding yourself because you've eaten a nutritious lunch. I'm talking about the energy you interact with and give away, and your attitude about the world, right? So consider, for the sake of this year as well, for yourself, what would you like to focus on? Because that which you will focus on will expand. If you're focusing on trouble at work, you will only see trouble at work. And of course, there is potentially all the time trouble at work, but choosing to focus on it rather than choosing on the benefits will just make your daily life more miserable while you're at work, right? So it's something to consider. As within, so without. Whatever you hold within yourself will expand. Whatever you hold within yourself, you'll see in the world. And that which is within, you have control of. So focus there, right? Focus on your energy. Now, Emerson said that we become what we think about all day long. And this is huge. Now, there are more than that, but let's say for now that there are four sources of feeding ourselves, our thoughts and our energy. Of course, there are media, so like, you know, TV, news, newspapers, podcasts such as this one, some outlets of media, music, whatever. There are people and interactions with them. There are activities, so whatever you do, wherever you do it, so places as well. And there are thoughts. And of course, thoughts are the ones that you end up with after feeding yourself with all the others, right? But let's assume that these four, so media, people, activities, and thoughts. These four categories, these four outlets, play a part in creating the mold with which you can sculpt your, you can create your reality, your day. If you spend all your day listening to tragedy news and talking with people about all the tragedies around the world, your world view will be rather bleak, because that's what you focused on. And as Emerson said, we become what we think about all day long. So of course, you can imagine someone that all day feeds themselves with bad news will become quite a grim, upset person. I have a life example of that. Bless him, my grandpa spends at this point all his day, and even when we call for, to give him some wishes or whatever, the TV always stays on. he spends all his day reading newspapers and watching TV. And as you can imagine, most of the material that is being offered there, especially at the news stations, is shocking and simply, you know, upsetting to him. And so whenever I call him, there is always some calamity that he will mention, and there is always some fear that he's going to try to propose, right? He's worried about some, I don't know, war. He's worried about my well-being of whatever. He's worried about this and that and rises in prices. And, you know, of course, these are things that you can worry about. I'm not dismissing them. But your worrying about them, unless you do something about them, doesn't change much. But it certainly affects your energy. And so you can imagine talking to him over the phone is quite challenging, because by the time we're done and I disconnect, I need to check myself for being sad and upset, because there is just so much drama that he's offering me there. And of course, by now I've grown used to it. It's not like it's affecting me to the degree that it could. But if I was not careful with my energy, these interactions would end up with me just, you know, perpetuating the cycle and potentially telling my wife all about these problems. And then she's going to tell someone else, and everyone's suddenly focused on their problems. Not even them, not even their problems. So be careful, be aware. What was his name? I don't remember. Anyway, one of my favorite speakers from the past used to say, stand guard at the door of your mind. Be aware of what kind of energy you're giving to your mind, what kind of thoughts you're feeding yourself. So, you know, one thing that I've been trying more of these days, simply because I'm trying to be more aware of my surroundings and of my energy, especially that I'm quite a worrier and I like to worry, and it's simply just not healthy and I should stop worrying so much, is I had to cut like 90% of outlets that I've been watching, including podcasts that I really enjoyed. But I noticed that majority of what was offered in the podcast, especially right now, was quite upsetting for me. And it was just putting me in a foul mood. It was making me irritated and worried and sad. And it's just not that great for my mental health, right? So I would advise you, I would encourage you, I would inspire you, I hope to inspire you to check yourself, check your energy, and be aware, stand guard at the door of your mind. Jim Rohn is the name of the gentleman. Be aware that all of these are affecting you, you know? All of the media, all of the music, all of the everything carries some sort of energy with it. And you can imagine you will be a very different person if all you do all day is listen to hard metal screaming rock versus if you listen to some funky jazz music. It's just different energy that is being offered through those mediums. So I'm just encouraging you to consider. Of course, this is not to say that you should abandon all that you enjoy, but I think you should consider what kind of environment you're surrounded with and you're swimming in this soup of, you know, energy and matter and consciousness, really. One funny thing that just came to my mind right now is, you know, a question for you. Would you, during an argument with your spouse, put on hard screaming metal music in the background? Do you think that would help the conversation if there are screams and, you know, really hardcore music playing loud in the living room? Or do you think it might actually be beneficial to either turn off the music or maybe leave it, but put some sort of calming, you know, non-invasive music. I don't know. Maybe you think the hardcore rock and roll is better for that. I certainly feel quite sure that when I'm arguing with my wife, it's probably best for there not to be a hardcore music in the background. Now, the thing that I sort of alluded to earlier is that everything starts with a thought, right? So if you think about it, everything that surrounds me right now was someone's idea. And that idea came to them, whether you believe that it was some sort of sacred marriage of their consciousness and the consciousness of God, or whether you believe that it was just a random need that was addressed by someone creating a microphone, by someone coming up with a pen and all that, or someone creating this, even including this, you know, like I had a thought of how I'd like my logo to be, but it was just a thought to begin with. It wasn't like I had a thought and instantaneously in my head there was a, you know, a vinyl sort of thing. So if you consider that everything starts with a thought, we could consider that thoughts are creative, right? Because those thoughts will play a part in shaping our reality. Coming back to the car idea, what you think about expands in your life, right? So your thoughts are creating more opportunity for you, for example, to see a red car simply because you focus on it, and so your subconscious mind becomes more vigilant when you're walking down the street, whether or not there's a red car involved. The idea here is that if we believe that everything's vibration, and if we believe that those vibrations will resonate with one another or not, so coming back to what we started with, that you might not vibe with someone or you might vibe with someone. A good example of it is when you're dancing with some people. Quite frankly, dance is probably the most primitive form we know of courting someone, you know, of showing off, including animals have it, right? So some birds and all that will have some sort of dance to court a potential mate. In the same way, when you're dancing with someone at a party, dancing together is a sort of interplay, a play between two partners, trying to feel one another to see whether they vibe together, right? And in the same way, your vibe and your energy will vibe with the other or not. And the idea here is that you attract whatever you're attractive to. So if you have a really low self-esteem, if you don't feel competent, don't feel courageous, don't feel strong, whatever, you will be attracting a different kind of people into your life than someone who is courageous, has high self-esteem and so forth. It can both be a positive or a negative, right? If you are quite timid and shy, it's unlikely that you will be attractive and attract someone who's very extroverted and wants to, you know, scream and dance. At the same time, if you are timid and shy, you might attract someone who will prey upon that timidity. So your vibe is literally emitting these energy vibrations into the world around you. And, you know, of course, there are reasons why that's beneficial. You should be yourself. But if you want to change something in your life, if you want to attract more attractive people, whatever that means to you, or if you want to become wealthier, or if you want to become more successful in some field, you should consider what kind of energy do I give off towards those things that I'm wishing to attract. You know, the idea, for example, that I've heard on one of the workshops was about this resonance, right? So apparently the universe or our subconscious mind or whatever you consider to be the potential force that plays a part in your life does not know the difference between something and not something. It doesn't hear the negative because the negative does not exist. A darkness is simply lack of light. It's not a different thing. It's just a lack of a thing. In the same way, being poor is not a thing, it's just lack of wealth. So apparently, if you worry about something and you say, oh, I don't want this to happen, all you sent out as the energetic message to the universe, to the field, to others, to yourself, to your subconscious, whatever you believe, is, oh, I want that. Because it does not, they don't, or it does not hear the not. And I've only just realized it lately, and I'm really trying hard to be careful with my thoughts and with my words because of it. Because it seems fairly straightforward, and I think it's a simple idea, but to put it into practice is very difficult, especially if you are surrounded with people that talk about things that they are worried about and all. And you know, the one of some people that I really admire and that talk about these ideas about energy and about, you know, basically being a certain way, made this point that if enough people worry about something, that something expands. We literally feed our energy toward that thing. So we should be careful in the same way that we stand guard at the door of our mind, like Jim Rohn said, when it comes to things coming towards us, energy being given to us, we should also stand guard and filter what kind of energy we're sending out. If you are sending out the kind of energy that you're worried you're gonna get mugged, or you're worried that you're gonna lose all your money and stuff like that, you might just be playing with fire, because the field, especially if we, and this is a deep rabbit hole, but I encourage you to consider the idea that we live in a holographic universe, or that, you know, the theory that everything happened and there are just many multiverses that are happening simultaneously. If you're not careful with your thoughts, it might just be that the saying, be careful what you wish for, becomes real for you, simply because there is no, there only is. And so if you worry about getting, I don't know, scammed, you might just become the next potential victim of someone trying to find someone to scam, simply because you will resonate with their field. You know, you will resonate, you will vibe with them. I know it sounds absurd, but also, I think it's quite straightforward. So the bottom line on this point is, be careful and remember that there are no no's. So whatever you wish to create, or whatever you wish not to create, always stick to the positive. Always affirm the positive, and simply catch yourself, and even you can have a dialogue with yourself, or thought dialogue with yourself. I'm trying that at the moment, that whenever you find yourself worrying about something, you just argue against it. You convince yourself, or you just say to that inner critic, inner warrior, inner whoever, that that's not true. Don't worry, we'll be okay, you know? Or I got it covered, don't you worry, and affirm the positive, because I want to send out the positive rather than the negative into the ether. Now, I know we've been going on for almost an hour now, so let's maybe finish up on the on the invitation for you. So I've already mentioned that I would encourage you to consider your surroundings or, and what kind of energy you want to give away. And of course, also, I invited you to consider what might be your intention. Now, this is the, and some experiments to do, this is the invitation for you for this year. And this is my wish for you for the year. Yet again, Happy New Year. And I wish for you, as I wish for myself and all of my loved ones and everyone surrounding me, to write down 3 to 5, or maybe 3 to 10, or maybe 3 to 300. It's up to you, really. Intentions for this year. And you can be as descriptive as you wish, or you can be as brief as you wish. It's completely up to you. My average length of intention was a third of an A4 page. And once you've written them down, and these should be, you know, things that you really, things, ideas, whatever, aspects of your life you want to change and stuff, write them in present tense. Don't write "I wish" or whatever. Write them as if they are here. Simply state them as being true. And ask yourself for each of them why. And yet again, coming back to this idea of energy in motion, if you have a thought, it's one thing. But if you have a thought that is very emotionally charged, it's a much stronger energetically thought, much stronger idea. So that's why it's important to have your why. You know, the quote from Nietzsche, I think, was, "He who has a why can bear almost any how." Your why will help you in your year's journey, in especially powering through those times when it might be slightly challenging. And it probably will be. If you're doing something worthwhile, it's there's usually a few stumble blocks along the way. So I would encourage you to describe what you wish to be, an intention of a sort, a few of them, and then ask yourself for each of them, why is that important to you? And the more reasons and the more meaningful and powerful these reasons will be, the more likely you are to stick to those things. And, you know, I encourage you to take that piece of paper, keep it somewhere that you will see it often, or at least you will see it being there often. Remind yourself of it, maybe read it a few times, and start feeding your mind and your energy with the kind of people, thoughts, ideas, news and so forth, media, activities that will empower these things to happen, to take place. So maybe consider to hang around with more people that are resonant with those ideas. Of course, you know, a good example would be if you want to become healthier and lose some weight and be more athletic, it's probably beneficial to sign up to some gym or maybe join a club and hang around with people who are like you would like to be, because we become over time we take up from other people a lot, including, you know, their ways, and success leaves clues. So don't reinvent the wheel. Just do what you can and see what happens. So yeah, I think that's enough for a monologue that opens this year. As I said, this is a work in progress, as everything is. So I hope that you've enjoyed it anyhow. I certainly did. Time flies when you're having fun. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that you are here. And thank you so much for giving me your time as I gave you some energy. I hope it was worthwhile. And yeah, I wish you a great, great year, honestly. Please make sure to subscribe or follow on whichever platform you're using, simply so I know that there is someone there that, you know, values what I did. And it definitely helps the podcast. And we've gone places since, so we're on our way. And yeah, let me know as well what you think about the background. Is it too much, too little? Yeah, stuff like that. You're welcome to send some ideas. And other than that, as always, have a wonderful, wonderful week and a year. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll see you next time.